'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, or Lord, that could not be.
Todd Grove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm preaching upon the subject, what does submission look like? I'm reading from James chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. What does it mean to submit to God? You'll notice the word therefore in our text. Since God does give more grace, thank God for that. He's a gracious God and He gives more grace. The only thing for us to do is to humble ourselves before Him. You see, God resists the proud. Pride of face, pride of place, pride of race, pride of grace. God hates pride. And God resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. So, submitting yourself to God has something to do with humbling yourself before God. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Now, this is a command. Submit yourselves to God. He's God. He doesn't negotiate. Submit yourselves to Him, whether you understand it or not. He's God. You don't have to understand everything, but you do have to submit yourself to God because He's God. And submission is willing. You want to submit to God. If you're going to submit to Him, it begins with a willingness to do so. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ being subject to His parents. He willingly submitted Himself to His parents. That's what He wanted to do. He was subject to them. That's amazing, but that's the way submission works. You do what He says. You don't understand it necessarily. When the Lord said to Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son, whom you love, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me on a mountain that I'll show thee of. Abraham didn't say, well, how could that be right? How could it be right for me to offer up my son? No, he did what God said to do, not really understanding it. Now, he knew that God's promise would come to pass. He knew that even if he did kill his son, God would raise him from the dead because God had promised that the Messiah would come through that boy. As a matter of fact, if you read the account in Genesis 22, he said to the men when they got to Mount Moriah, me and the lad go yonder to worship and will return to you. He believed that even if he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead. But the point I want to make is he didn't question God. He didn't say, how could this be right? If God said it, it's right. The only thing to do is submit. And as I said, this has got to be something you want to do. If you're made to submit, it's not submission. It's something that you actually want to do. We read in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Anything else is unreasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Submission to the will of God, it's good. It's perfect. It's acceptable. This is our reasonable service, and God's will is good because it's God's will. God has a will. God is all wise. God is all powerful. God is God. He has a will. He's a person who has a will. And the only thing to do is to submit to His will because He's God. He's glorious, and His will is to be submitted to because He's God. His will is immutable. His will never changes. His will is sovereign. And the only thing to do is submit. Submit yourselves to God. Now, when the Lord taught His disciples to pray, what did He teach them to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In submitting to His will, we're praying for His will to be done. The essence of holiness is seen in our Lord's prayer to His Father in Gethsemane's garden when He was contemplating the cup that He was going to be made to drink, the cup of God's wrath, the cup of the sins of the elect, and all the horror of drinking that cup. Three times He prayed, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Christ had a human will, or has a human will. He has a divine will, and the human will shrunk at the thought of drinking that cup and being made sin and bearing God's wrath. Yet His prayer, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." That is all He wanted, and that's all you and I should want as well. We submit to God because He's God. No other reason is needed. Submit. Right now, unconditional surrender. He's God. He doesn't negotiate. He doesn't change. The thing for you and I to do right now is to submit. If we submit to God, it's seen in our submission to His Word. Now, people can talk about submitting to God, but yet they don't submit to what the Bible says. Now, I want to remind you that this book, the Bible, the book I'm preaching from, I just read from the Bible, "Submit yourselves to God." This is the inspired Word of God. Somebody says, "How do you expect me to believe something like that? How do you expect me to believe that this book you're preaching from is the inspired, inerrant Word of God? How do you expect me to believe that?" Well, you believe that God created the universe. Somebody says, "No, I'm agnostic, I'm atheist." Well, I don't believe that. You know somebody had to cause this creation, and you know that nobody caused Him. You can see that God is God. He's in complete control. And if He is able to create a universe, He's able to inspire men to write a book that reveals to us who He is. This is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And what we think of God is seen in how we submit to what He says in His Word. Don't dare sit in judgment on His Word and pick out which part you agree with and which part you do not. It's the Word of God. It's whole and complete. And that man who picks out something and says, "I don't like that and I don't believe that," that's a failure to submit to God. We submit to all He says in His Word. There's nothing in it that's unimportant or non-essential. Now, we submit to what God says about Himself. In His Word, He reveals He's holy. That means He's not like me and you. He's altogether separate. He's other. He's absolutely pure. He's of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. He's absolutely just, according to His Word. "Justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne." Whatever He does is according to absolute pure justice. He's gracious. the Lord God, merciful and gracious. He's sovereign. That means He's in complete control of everybody and everything. Do you know even the thoughts going through your mind right now He's in control of? Somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, He's in control of that too. He's God, and He's in absolute control, and we submit to all He says about Himself in His Word. He's the God of the Bible. Somebody says, well, my God's not like that. I know your God's not like that, but that's not the living God. The living God is the God of the Bible. And we submit to whatever He says regarding Himself, and we submit to what He says in His Word regarding us. Let me give you a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, this is what God says about me. This is what God says about you. Every imagination of the thoughts of your heart is only evil continually. Now, submit to that. You say, I can't see that. Submit to it anyway. And really, you might not see it, but you look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are so bad that the only way God could accept us is through what Christ did on the cross. You're too bad. I'm too bad. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. That means incurable. Incurable. The only way somebody like me or you could be saved is through Christ coming and dying on Calvary's tree and satisfying God's justice and putting away my sin. There's nothing I can do about it. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8 says, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mind you were born with, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 3, 10 through 12 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, that's God's testimony. And what am I called on to do? Submit. I'm to submit to His way of salvation. Christ is all in salvation. I submit to that. I love it. Salvation's by grace. I submit to that. I submit to God electing a people before time began. People complain about election. How can it be fair for God to choose some and pass by others? How can it be fair for Christ to not die for everybody? Hush that up. Whatever God does is right. You and I aren't in the place to sit in judgment on God and say, well, I don't think that's fair. Whatever He does is fair. He's right. And we submit. We submit to His way of saving in a way that He gets all the glory and none goes to us. That's what's called submission. We submit to His way of salvation. I want to read a scripture from Romans chapter 10. I think that'll give a good explanation of what I'm trying to talk about. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Two things let me point out from that verse. These people were not saved. And Paul wanted them to be. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're very religious, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not, here's the word, submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, because they were ignorant of God's character, they didn't really understand righteousness. Take the Ten Commandments. I love the Ten Commandments. No other God before me. The commandment against idolatry, false ideas of God. The commandment regarding taking His name in vain. The commandment concerning the Sabbath day and honor your father and mother. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. The holy law of God. If you think you've kept one of those commandments one time, you prove you don't really understand the law and you're ignorant of God's righteousness. Because someone that's ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going to fail to submit to His righteous character. But what is this thing of submitting to His righteousness? Now, first of all, if we submit to His righteousness, we submit to the fact that He is right in all that He does. Because He is righteous. He's altogether righteous, altogether holy, altogether pure, altogether perfect. He's the God of glory, and He is righteous. We submit to His righteousness when we submit to His righteousness in our damnation. If He casts me off and sends me to hell, just, righteous, and holy is His name. Whatever He does is righteous. And we submit to that. We really believe that whatever He does is right. And if He sent us to hell, it's right. But not only do we submit to His righteousness in our condemnation, we submit to His righteousness in our salvation. If I'm saved, it magnifies the righteousness of God. You see, my sins were punished. God's never going to let sin go unpunished. My sins were punished in my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And His perfect righteousness, just as truly as my sin became His sin, His righteousness becomes my righteousness. And when God saves me, He's given me what I deserve because I'm perfectly righteous before Him through the gospel. Have you ever submitted to the righteousness of God? When I hear He has made us accepted in the beloved, I willingly and joyfully submit to that. When I hear, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ, I submit to that. Whatever God says in His Word, we're called upon to submit to. We're to submit to what He commands. You know, God only speaks by commandment. When the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? That's a command. You are commanded, I am commanded to believe, to trust, to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's all that is required to make me perfect before God. To know that everything that God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. And I believe on Him. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Submit. Repent. Change your mind about all the silly things you believe and the silly things and the wrong things that are contrary to His Word. Repent and believe the gospel. The Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. What do? If I submit, I deny myself. I take up my cross, my confession of Christ, and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this thing of submission, whatever He says is sin, we submit to it. Whatever He says is sin is sin. In this thing of submission, there must be willingness. You know, the only way a woman will submit to her husband is if she wants to. If the husband tries to force her to, woman, submit to me, that's not going to work. She's not going to submit. The only way a woman will submit is because she wants to. Submission must be willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. So my thought is, Lord, make me willing. Cause me to submit. By your grace, cause me to submit. Don't let me rebel. Don't let me stand away from a complete willing submission to who you are and what you say in all things. Make me submit. Cause me to walk in the way of thy statutes, David said. Teach me to do thy will. That's the desire of every believer. Turn me, and I'll be turned, Jeremiah said. The psalmist said in Psalm 80, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we'll be saved. I can't turn unless He turns me. So I say, Lord, turn me. If I don't turn, I won't be saved. Lord, turn me. Don't leave me to myself. Cause me to turn. Submission. I think of our Lord saying in 1 John 3:14, He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. He that loveth me keepeth my commandments. Love is behind submission. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And you're going to be honest about it. Somebody says, well, I keep his commandments. If you're talking about the Ten Commandments, you're lying. You haven't kept one time. And if you're a believer, you've kept them all, because when Christ obeyed the law for you, that became your keeping of the law. In that sense, I don't try to keep the law. I do keep the law because Christ kept the law for me. But in 1 John chapter 3, we read his commandments. This is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son and love one another as he gave his commandment. Now, those are commandments every believer keep. I do believe on the name of his Son. I believe all of salvation is in Christ. I'm resting in Christ. And I love my brethren. He that loveth the brethren is passed from death to life. Every believer loves all those who believe, and it's a sincere and real love to his person. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous or irksome. They're a joy to keep. Now, if I submit to him, not only do I submit to his word, I submit to his providence. Now, somebody says, what do you mean by the word providence? Everything that happens in time is God's providence. It's what he ordained before time. Everything that happens in time is God doing what he determined to do. He's in control of everybody and everything. Whoever is in office, wins an election, it's his will. If someone's saved, it's his will. If someone's not saved, they're damned for their own sin, but he passed them by. He's in absolute control. He said to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Now, regarding everything that happens, listen to this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever it is you're going through, it's God's will. He is in control of everything. It's called that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The believer has this promise. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, something a believer should never say is, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. God's in control. Whatever happens, happens because of his will. You mean even a baby dying? Well, I'm glad God's in control of that. Even a natural disaster? God's in control of that. He's absolutely sovereign. What if I find out I have cancer? God's in control of that. What about whatever, fill in the blank? It's the Lord. When Samuel came to Eli and said, God's going to kill your two boys, he said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. When Shimei is cursing David and throwing rocks at him and throwing dust in the air and saying, you're a bloody man, and Abishai says, you want me to take off his head? David said, no, the Lord said, curse David. David understood that. Here Shimei is cursing him, and David understood it's because the Lord told him to do it. That's why he's doing it. Job said, naked came I out from the womb, naked shall I return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's in control of everything. So everything in providence. That doesn't mean things are easy. I have trials, I have troubles. You do too. Man that's born of woman is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But God is in control of everything. And with regard to his will, we submit. You know what meekness is? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Most people think, well, that's weakness. It's not weakness. It's the greatest of strength. A meek man or woman is someone who accepts whatever God does as good because He did it. It's a recognition of the absolute sovereign authority of God. It's Him doing this, therefore we receive it as good, because it comes from a wise Heavenly Father's hand who's too wise to err, too kind to be cruel, too strong to have anything outside of His absolute control. So when we submit to God, we submit to His Word. We submit to what He says about Himself. We submit to what He says about us as sinners. We submit to what He says about salvation, how salvation's of the Lord. It's all of His grace. It's all of His doing. And we submit to His providence. It's all good. Whatever He does is good because He did it. And let me read a couple of other scriptures. I don't have time to deal with these right now, but let me read this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, we read, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you." Now he's talking about the pastor. If someone is a pastor, submit to what they say if they're preaching the gospel. Submit. I mean, you need a pastor. Nobody makes a good pastor to themselves. So submit to the pastor if he's preaching the gospel. I can't say there's a whole lot of pastors that are just professional preachers. I wouldn't submit to them. I wouldn't listen to anything they're saying because they don't preach the gospel. They're false prophets. But if someone's preaching the gospel, submit to them. Listen to what they have to say. Be persuaded by them. Listen to the gospel they're preaching. And then we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, submit yourself to every ordinance for the Lord's sake. The powers that be ordained of God. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Whatever authority God has put in place, submit yourself to. He put it in place. Somebody says, well, what if I don't agree with Him? Well, He still put them in place. Whoever's in authority, you submit to Him. Scripture says He bears not the sword in vain. Now, police officer, teacher, employer, whatever authority it is, submit yourself to that authority because God has placed them there. And then I love what Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God, showing deference to one another, taking the lowest seat in the house. Submissive people, submitting themselves one to another out of love. Now, and like I said, the only way anybody's ever going to submit is if they do so willingly. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neipert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.